All right, we're right back. And our topic today is diet and cancer. We've been talking to Marissa Moore, who is a registered dietitian. She's been here waiting for you to call us, 404-880-9255, to ask your question. We look like we have a caller on line six. William, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, William, what's your question?
I wanted to know if Geneema, which is a herb that I actually use myself, I get it from the health food store, Sevenanda. If it was a good substitute for those with craving sugar, because I don't know if you're aware of it, you could just take this and, you know, chew a little bit maybe for maybe 10 seconds and spit it out and try to eat something sweet, and it'll really be nasty. It won't be sweet anymore. And a lot of people don't know about that. And I get mine from 7-Up and Little Five Points. So I just stopped that I bring that up. I was listening to your program. I'm not overweight or anything. And as a matter of fact, I can't gain weight. But I had a girlfriend at one time that was suffering with diabetes, and it helped her.
All right, William. Well,
you know what? I've never heard of that before.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
So that I can't really.
But are there
on.
Any things that we can do to prevent us from having sugar cravings or?
And this is going to sound like a real dietitian's answer.
Okay.
But have a piece of fruit.
Have a piece of fruit.
Or brush your teeth.
Yeah, that always works too.
Or have some tea.
Okay.
And the reason is because, especially if you have hot tea, mm-hmm. it takes a little while for you to drink it.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing really tastes that good afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. Why not have your green tea?
So always
ginger.
Have a piece of fruit, mm-hmm. some hot tea, and brush your teeth before you go somewhere, if that'll help. So those are some of the things that you can do. Okay, so now that we're back, we were talking about, you know, we've talked about onions and all that. I mean, we talked about green vegetables. We talked about meats. And I was telling you how I really have stayed away from beef, and I don't do a whole lot of chicken, very rarely at all. I really concentrate on, I love seafood. Is that something that you've heard in your studies that helps?
Yes. The interesting thing about that is people who eat a plant-based diet, so vegetarians, they tend to have a lower overall risk for all types of cancers.
Oh, okay.
So reducing your total animal product intake, so chicken, beef, lamb, whatever it is, can certainly decrease your risk for cancer.
Okay.
So that's something you want to work towards. When it comes to fish, I think that's great. Having that, it helps with heart health and a variety of other things. And most Americans don't get enough of it. We mm-hmm. want to try to get that at least 2-3 times a week.
Hopefully not frying it, too.
No.
Let's just try to saute it or grill it
or bake it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then just get used to the taste. You will. I know you're Southern folk. I'm Southern, too. I love me some fried fish. I have it on occasion. But usually I saute it. Okay, so you were saying that we really needed to go in on fats. Good fats, bad fats.
So one of the things that's been studied a lot, and especially as it relates to breast cancer, is the impact of fat on your risk for breast cancer. And what's been shown is that people who eat less fat overall, particularly those that are like vegetable oils, soybean oils, they tend to have a lower risk of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So reducing your intake of sort of those not-so-great fats for you,
what
is a goal.
So like for people who don't know, like mm-hmm. what?
So vegetable oil, just the regular one that you buy at the store,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to have that every single day. That's not a goal.
Okay.
If you want to use olive oil instead.
Okay.
Okay. Or even avocado oil, or using oils that you get from nuts, which are a little healthier.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So maybe staying away from Crisco and stuff like that.
Yes. And definitely saturated fats, like what you get from shortenings.
Mm-hmm.
And then any high fat meats, like we were just talking about the fried fish. Those are things you want to try to stay away from.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you are not overweight, you're not trying to watch your weight or anything like that. Because sometimes people think, well, I'm not overweight, I can eat what I want. But it's not just about your weight. It's about your overall health.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what about good fats?
Mm-hmm. So you want to try to get more of the good fats like avocados, nuts, olives, olive oil.
What kind of nuts, though? Because all nuts are not good, right? Because you could do like pistachios, almonds,
walnuts.
Mm-hmm. But like just the regular peanuts.
Peanuts are not that bad,
They're
actually.
Not that bad either?
No, okay, they definitely have some good benefits, and they have healthy fats
But you
them.
Can't just sit up and eat a whole bunch of peanuts all day
because
thinking
that
you're doing good, because anything in excess is not good for you, right?
Absolutely. My motto when it comes to nuts, you want to do them by the handful, not the can full.
Right.
Don't sit
there.
See,
I'm the kind I can eat a whole can full.
Not the only one. You have to clarify that.
Yes. That's why I said it. Don't forget, we're still waiting for you. If you have any questions for our dietitian, 404-880-9255, or you can tweet them to us at CCRTD or at Jaquetta W. Okay, so now when it comes to fats, we talked about nuts. Those are good fats as well. What about like things like cod liver oil? Or you could also buy them in the health food store, because I take a spoonful of it every day. I think it's, they call it 369 or something like that.
The omega-3s?
Yeah, the omega-3s.
Mm-hmm. So
is that fat too, good fat?
Yes, that's a very good fat. And you get it from salmon. I think you mentioned that that's one of your favorite types of fish. Mm-hmm. That's a great one. You get it from mackerel, tuna, sardines.
I love sardines. Okay. Me too. Some grits and sardines. That's a good time for me.
Yeah, I grew up eating sardines. And I know a lot of people
don't like them.
Mm-hmm. But they are one of the missing healthiest options for you. Good source of fats. So including those. And one thing that I wanted to kind of mention too, we were talking about nuts earlier and high fat foods. So do a trade-off. So if you typically eat potato chips, we know that they're full of just refined carbohydrates and fat. Trade off with some pistachios because the pistachios are going to make you feel full longer and you're getting those good fats.
Here's the thing I will say about that, though, too, because I love pistachios. Mm-hmm. But you also have to be mindful of when they're in and out of season, because you can go. I like the little bags, but they want, you know, like $5 or $6. You're not going to pay that just for a treat when you can go get you some Lay's, you know, for 99 cents if they're on sale. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing you have to be mindful of as well.
Switch to a different one. Get the almonds that day. Whichever ones are on sale.
Okay, and then unsalt it too if you can. Don't forget, we're waiting for you, 404-880-9255. Do we have a follow-up? Looks like we've got somebody on line 4. Not just yet? Okay, so let's keep on talking. So we've talked, is there anything else? Oh, let me go back to alcohol. So now I've talked about red wine, and I asked you whether it was that or was it just alcohol across the board? You told me alcohol across the board.
Yes, alcohol across the board. Unfortunately, the issue with it, especially when it relates to breast cancer, there's a question as to whether or not alcohol might increase estrogen levels and whether it disrupts your DNA levels. So it might change your DNA, which can, of course, impact your risk for breast cancer. So
Let's hold right there. We got a phone call. Okay. We're going to come back to it, but just give me a minute. Sure. Line 4 is Norman. Norman, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm
okay.
Here.
What's your question, Norman?
Well, I'm age 62, and cancer runs in my family. And we hear a lot about eating for your blood type, according to your blood type. My blood type is O positive. So they say O positive blood type individuals, it's good to eat meat, red meat. So comment on that.
Well, you know, I've heard about the blood type diet, and unfortunately, the research isn't all the way there to support everything in that sort of area. So I can't say that I would recommend that to anyone to eat more red meat.
Because when I think about, I mean, I always try to think about where, when it comes to meat and then the studies that I've, or the research that I've just done on my own personally, you know, I've heard how it can stay in your intestines for quite some time before it actually leaves. So for me, I just visually, and when I think of it, I don't want something basically in there and rotting in some ways in my system. So have you heard that as well?
I've heard that before. But what I will say is, you know, you want to try to eat foods that are going to keep everything moving.
Right.
You want to try to eat as clean as possible. It does take a little bit longer for certain proteins to digest, for sure.
And then to make sure when you know, your body is doing what it's supposed to do to release.
Exactly.
You know, in liquid form and in other forms.
So back to those vegetables.
There we go.
And beans.
Okay. Yes. Line 6. That's probably TMI, which would be too much information. But however, it's important information and you need it. Okay. Line 6, we have, who's on line 6 and what's your question?
My name is Jeannie.
Hey, Jeannie.
Hi. My boyfriend has had hepatitis, and so his liver is cirrhotic now. And I've been trying to get him to eat more healthy things. And I went through breast cancer, and what I did was I switched to an all-raw diet. So 90% raw, and almost everything was green or lots of vegetables, different color vegetables. But I just wonder, because they're limited to, like, things with lower iron, what would you recommend for him to, like, sort of modify his diet?
That's a good question.
Yeah, you know, whenever you have liver problems, remember our liver is probably, if not the most important organ. All the blood goes through there. Everything that we take in goes through the liver. Mm-hmm. So any toxins that come in, if the liver's not working properly, then there can clearly be some issues. Now, I have to say, I'm not an expert in liver, conditions of the liver. So that's a sort of a difficult question to answer. But what I can tell you is there are some foods that have been shown to help sort of have some detoxification properties. So going back to those cruciferous vegetables mm-hmm. that I mentioned earlier,
broccoli,
like the broccoli, the
kale,
collard greens,
greens. What about spinach? Is that one on there?
It's not necessarily cruciferous, but it's still a very good option.
So that would be something that could help him, or that she could make, saute it, eat it raw, that may help with his hepatitis. Or whatever she said would have to do with his liver.
Right. So that's a good, healthy option.
Okay. Hopefully.
But I would suggest that you do talk to, if he has hepatitis, talk to your healthcare provider to figure out exactly what he needs, because there may be some other issues going on.
And then he just needs to, eat it. Even if you may not like it, but if it's going to help you, you find ways to like it. Put some garlic salt on it and keep pushing. All right, we've got Tiffany on line 4. Hey, Tiffany, what's your question?
Hi. My question is in reference to time frames of eating prior to going to bed. Because I've gotten different feedback. I'm vegan, so I don't eat any, if it comes from an animal, I don't eat it. But usually after the gym and I go home, I may have a smoothie before going to bed, but I heard that it you need something a little more in order, like prior to going to bed, because it can deteriorate any muscle mass that you could possibly build, and like kind of trying to figure out a time frame to actually stop eating before going to bed.
Okay. So there's a couple of things going on in that question. So she mentioned that she works out. Mm-hmm. So I want to address that first. So if you work out, and especially if you have a hard, like a good, vigorous workout, you do want to have something to eat about 30 minutes after your workout so that you can rebuild any muscle that's broken down. And that needs to include some sort of protein and carbohydrate. So you need that. In terms of just generally trying to limit the amount of food that you take in before bed, the cutoff is about 3 hours before you go to bed. So it's not like a magical time for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's not 7 o'clock. It's not 6 o'clock, because people go to bed at different times.
Right.
They're doing different things.
Right.
But the reason for that is because, one, if we're up late, we're generally not munching on a bowl of cauliflower. We're
right.
usually eating chips or ice cream or something like that.
Right.
But two, if you're eating really late and then you lay down, it can actually cause a little bit of reflux.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, that can erode the esophagus, that little tube that goes from the mouth to the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And it can cause acid reflux, which can have a whole host of problems.
Now, I will admit, before I go to bed, I try to get into bed about 10 o'clock and asleep by 10:30. However, I always do have a little something before I go to bed, even if it's like 15 almonds, or if it's like a smoothie protein, 8 ounce that I'll shake up really quickly. Because in my mind, and from what I've always understood, it's good to have your body working even when you're asleep. And that prevents me when I get up in the morning. I eat every 3 hours, but it's always something, something good for me. So, as long as you're not having a bowl of chips before you go to bed, right?
Or a big heavy steak meal,
mm-hmm.
Or
ice cream.
Or something very heavy, because that's going to interrupt your sleep. Because if your body's working too hard, it's focused on digestion.
Right.
And you're not getting the rest you need.
Okay, we're going to go to line number 1. Is it Tamar? Are you there? Line 1? Okay, we'll keep pushing. Hopefully we'll get her back on the line. Sorry about that if it's Tamar. Isn't that be something if it was Tamar Braxton? But I know it's not. Okay. So the good thing about knowing that if you want a little something before you go to bed, as long as it's the right choice, or even if you have an apple before you go to bed, and I think it helps because it makes you feel full. And then when you get up in the morning, it has done what it needs to do to release things in your body that you need to release.
It can certainly help.
It's a very good diuretic, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
Oh, is that what you're trying
to say?
Yeah. Okay.
At least it does it for me.
This has turned into the TMI show.
Yes, right? I know, right? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. But, especially for people, if you have diabetes, I do recommend a nighttime snack, because it does help to regulate insulin levels over the course of the night. So you don't want to go too long
right.
without eating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we have our do we have line one back? No? Okay. So what else have we not talked about that we need to talk about? Because I think we've covered a lot. We've covered meats. We've talked about vegetables. We've talked about fruit. We've talked about sugar. We've talked about fats. We've talked about working out. Is there anything else on that list of things that we should be doing that we could? And can we talk about? Okay, let's go back to line four really quickly. Is that Tamar on the line?
Yes.
Am I saying your name correctly?
Yes. You did.
Okay, great. Okay, say
good evening, ladies.
Good evening.
I'm enjoying your show.
Thank you.
My question, it's twofold. Actually, I would like to hear a little more about, if you haven't discussed, the importance of water intake and the amount, the proper amount of water for overall good health and as it relates to possibly colon cancer. And then my other question is around vitamin supplementation and obviously the importance of eating right, but whether she feels that vitamin supplementation, especially whole foods, is good for you as well.
She's got great questions.
Yeah, those are both.
Those are good,
great
Tamar.
Questions.
Thank you, Tamar.
So I can't stress the importance of getting enough water.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a little different for everybody. So the 8 glasses of water, that's a good sort of rule of thumb. And if you're getting 8, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually a little bit higher than that for most people.
Oh.
And this is going back to the TMI thing. Actually, okay. One of the best ways to determine if you're well hydrated is to kind of take a look in the bowl when you're done tinkling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If it's clear, that means you're doing well.
Exactly.
If it's really, really, really yellow, that's not so good.
You still have some work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So you want it to be at least, the color of like a pale lemonade or clear.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal. Now, of course, if you're taking medications or something like that, that can change your urine color. So you want to kind of be mindful of that. Now, as it relates to for vitamins and supplements, this is a loaded topic, I will say that.
Okay.
Because there's been several studies to show that just taking multivitamins may or may not help, depending on your age group.
What does that mean?
That they may or may not provide any benefit at all.
If I'm what, younger, older, middle-aged?
There's been so many different studies. Some of them show that postmenopausal women who take vitamins don't get any benefit. There's been studies to show that people who take vitamin E supplements might have an increased risk for prostate cancer. So there's been a variety of different studies to show that just taking general antioxidants like beta carotene and things like that might lead to, some forms of cancer. So it's not something that you want to blanketly recommend to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you're not getting enough of something, if you're not getting enough vitamin D, and that's really important for African Americans because there's an issue where many African Americans don't get enough vitamin D. There's not enough in the food supply. And because of our darker skin, we don't absorb enough from making it from sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
So often that's one of the one supplements that I do recommend that people take, as well as omega-3 fatty acids, because we generally don't get those in our diet. But just to generally take a multivitamin, there's real controversy right now as to whether or not they're beneficial.
So vitamin D, is vitamin D seen, can you get it in any kind of food source?
Yeah, there's a few.
If you don't want to take a vitamin, like what?
There's a few. So there's salmon,
mm-hmm.
egg yolks,
uh-huh.
as well as vitamin D enriched milk. So whole milk, or you can do skim milk if it has the vitamin D in it.
I don't like milk. What about almond milk?
Almond milk generally has it in there as well.
Okay.
And then some mushrooms. If they've been exposed to the proper amount of light, then they'll be very high in vitamin D.
So even if I'm a black person, if I want to stand out into the sun for a period of time, that may not help me as much.
Well, you need at least 15 minutes without any sunblock, without everything covered. Because when we go out, especially in the winter,
We're covered. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to line one. Hey, Denise, what's your question?
Yes. Good afternoon. Calling, I'm wanting to know Miss Marissa's take on sauerkraut. If you're familiar with any knowledge on sauerkraut, I'm just starting to hear a few things about, it seems like there's this whole world of knowledge about sauerkraut as a super power food, but I'm just starting to learn this. Please, do you have any?
That's a good question because I hadn't heard anything about sauerkraut.
Yeah,
okay.
So sauerkraut, kimchi, the Korean sort of, it's like a condiment that was made out of like fermented cabbage and
mm-hmm.
a couple other things.
Mm-hmm.
They're a good source of, it's fermented, so it's a good source of probiotics, which can help with gut health or it helps with digestion.
Okay.
Yeah, so absolutely great to include.
So she's right on par then.
Yeah.
The information that she's getting is good. And so you can have as much as you like and there's no problem?
Well, I don't think most people want to eat too much sauerkraut.
Okay.
Because well, there'll be some ill effects from that.
Really?
It's cabbage.
Oh, yeah. So which means, okay. Okay. We are really giving you TMI, but hopefully it is helping you. We're coming right back.